The Europeans have two goals. They want to go on with this war and they want to bring in NATO troops into Ukraine, and they want to have the Americans in this war. And this is completely acceptable for both sides, the Americans and the Russians as well. But on the European side, they are losing ground and they clearly don't play any role in this negotiation process. Putin says clearly they cannot destroy the peace process right now. They have not the power to do so. And he's showing what the Europeans are intending to do. From my side, this is the wrong way. The Europeans don't play any matter right now. They brought themselves into this situation by completely subordinating themselves under the interests of the United States. But the interests of the United States changed. The interests of the hegemon changed. The Biden government tried to weaken Russia by fighting a war in Ukraine against Russia. And the Trump government makes very clear that it wants to cut a deal with Russia to fight the Chinese. And this is a different approach. And the Europeans cannot understand that. They could not understand that because they are waiting for another government in the United States. And the second point is the political survival of the European functional elites depends on the continuation of the war, because they brought their own countries in a dead-end street. Economically, they are close to bankruptcy and they need the Russian assets. And when the bill will be shown to the European people, those European elites will be kicked in the garbage can of history.
So what would be the result economically if President Trump and his team finally say, okay, you know what, I'm tired of trying to get you guys on board. I'm trying to find a happy medium that everybody can agree to. I'm just going to agree to what I can agree to with Russia for our own interests, our own long-term interests, and we'll agree to whatever here. You guys are on your own. If you want to keep fighting this war, if you want to keep supporting this, have at it, but you're going to do it completely without us. What would happen in that case within Europe?
For the Europeans, means the whole negotiation process. They are completely under American control, especially in a situation when American companies and Russian companies are reorganizing the gas delivery via Nord Stream, so they can control the European gas supply. And the second point is economic decline. They don't play any economic role anymore in the future. And European will be a row of failing states in the end of the show, a row of failing states. They will getting poorer and poorer. And I expect a lot of political crisis situations in Europe, demonstrations, protests of the people, and all that. Probably beginning in Ireland. I don't know. And there was the German government. Yeah?
Sorry, there was some comment this morning from Mark Rutte, from the NATO Secretary General, that they want to try and keep Ukraine afloat through the year 2026 with an infusion of $90 billion, which subsequently Ursula von der Leyen also added was probably going to be funded by more debt. How is that going to work out economically? Forget about the negotiations for a second and whether this goes to an end, but how can they economically facilitate adding yet more debt? Will that not cause negative implications for the economy across the board?
Yes, it's only by more debts in the hope that the European side can get more collateral on Ukraine soil. But this is impossible. It is betting on the future. And it's a kind of Russian roulette. So it's just rhetoric, just telling stories.
So let's say that they agree to this and they actually implement this new debt and they come up with this $90 billion based on a future hope of some kind of assets. But then Gerasimov's comments and Putin's statements turn out to be how it actually plays out. And Russia wins the war. Ergo, they don't have access to any of those hoped for assets. And now they're just saddled with this big old debt and a country that is now collapsed. What impact is that going to have on the economy of Europe?
They are destroying their own economies by more debts. That's clear for me. But I have to say, I'm representing a minority position. And the politicians of Germany and France and the UK are trying to lie to their own people on this. And the majority is believing these lies. That's the problem. It's just propaganda. And those politicians know they are coming to an end. And they will be held responsible for that, what they have done in Ukraine. About 2 million dead people. And I think partly these politicians have to fear criminal prosecution.
Wow, that's a pretty strong statement. Let's look at Germany in particular here on the military aspect, because there's also been information out here in recent days that Germany wants to become the new military power on the continent, and they want to increase their military size. They want to bring back a draft. They want to make plans in a certain sense for a future conflict with Russia. What can you tell us about what the Germans are actually doing militarily?
So Germany's economy is in full decline, and the politicians have the strategy to set their hopes into the military-industrial complex to save a lot of jobs for the near future. But in the end, these are consumptive investments. That doesn't help the country. We need new schools, we need new streets, we have to invest in infrastructure, in education and all that. And so this is the wrong way from my side. It helps for some years, but it shows that every war is not only a war against the foreign enemy. Every war is also a class war to intensify the exploitation of the middle class. And what we see right now in Germany is a kind of exploitation of the middle class for transferring the financial resources to the military-industrial complex in Europe, but especially in the United States. That's the process.
Well, so let me ask you something. I spent 6 years living in Germany when I was during my military career, several different times, and I stayed there for several different durations as a military member in the U.S. And I remember pretty distinctly that there was a version of pacifism that was in the German mentality as a result of World War II, et cetera. And now then to say that, our better question here, what is now the attitude of the German general population, if you can characterize it like that, especially of the rising population, the young groups who would have to be able to be recruited into the military or would have to be forced to go into the military to be able to bring those numbers up. Will the population in Germany support that now without an overt, yes, this is a big threat to your national security?
I personally was a member of the peace movement in Germany in the early 80s, in the last century. And it is difficult for me to understand that most Germans are sleeping into the abyss, especially the younger ones. I think it's a question of digitalization, a question of propaganda, and it is a question of psychology. The first point is digitalization. They are taking computer games and Hollywood movies for the real war. They think a war looks like It is shown in Hollywood movies or in computer games. And I've seen three wars. I can tell you this is completely wrong. They never saw dead bodies. And they cannot imagine what war looks like. And when they will know this, it will be too late. The second point is a question of psychology. My parents and grandparents were educated as Nazis, completely. And the way of educating the daughters and sons was like in Nazi times. And I knew exactly that I have to be against this. And so I fought against parental authorities and against state authorities as well. I was always a dissident. I was always in the opposition. But today's generation of fathers and mothers are best friends to their children. So the conflict between the generation is not fought anymore. And this is an anti-democratic behavior, because in democracy you always have to limit the power of authorities. So that means you have to bring authorities always under control. And you have to be careful and skeptical against authorities. And the younger generation I see agrees to authorities and believe in authorities. And they will learn that this is a mistake. And both sides are playing a role. And then we know the power of propaganda. According to official information, 10 years ago, the Pentagon employed 27,000 people in the PR area. They were responsible for public relations, and they had a budget, a yearly budget of $5 billion. And the power of propaganda, of NATO propaganda, is very strong. And so NATO has a lot of offices for cognitive warfare. That does not mean to change the content of thinking. That means to change the way of thinking. And NATO wants to bring, like a carpet, ressentiments, emotions before, in front of rational thinking. And this is what NATO does. They want to boost Russophobia, racism, and this way of thinking. And this makes impossible for many people to get a clear brain and to think in a clear way. That's the problem.
And how does AfD, Alternative für Deutschland, how does that fit into this? Because it would seem that there's at least an alternative out there that is scratching out some kind of success within all of this conflict that's going on.
Let me begin on the other side. The Bündnis Sarah Wagenknecht, BSW, the lefties, committed suicide by joining two governments on the federal level in Thuringia and Brandenburg. So the only alternative for many people, especially in Eastern Germany, is the AfD, Alternative for Germany. So in AfD, you have two wings. One wing is seeking a peace with Russia and an understanding with Russia. And then you have a transatlantic wing who wants to subordinate the AfD under the interests of the United States for bringing the AfD into the next government. And I expect that the transatlantic wing will be successful.
And so how would that term, right now they're in the minority, obviously. In the event that the majority and the powers that be keep moving in this direction of anti-Russianism, et cetera, to keep that agenda up, to keep the, you know, build up military power, but then there is an economic either crisis or even outright collapse, apparently both of which are potentially possible for the entire Western world, not just Germany. But if that starts happening now, then all of these claims that the powers that be cannot provide for the basic economic health of the country, will that cause people to maybe go more to reject some of those thoughts, or might it have the opposite effect to where it makes people say, no, they're the ones that are responsible for it, and we have to double down on these bad policies? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, my dystopia is that many people will vote for the AfD in the next time. The AfD will be transatlantically transformed and join the next federal government. And then things will go on as they were under transatlantic American control. And so people are frustrated and will do nothing. That's my expectation for Germany.
So there's no scenario whereby Germany just asserts its own independent pro-German view and says, okay, I'm not so much an Atlanticist or an American version, but just, you know, I'm Germany first, so to speak.
It would be good to say Germany first. And I think politicians should represent the interests of their own country. But this
political
it is absolutely not normal in Germany. So our political elite is representing the interests of the United States. They try to represent the interests of the United States for bringing themselves in a position that the hegemon will help them by managing their career. So that's the idea of German elites. They don't represent the German people, and they don't represent the Germany of the interests of the nation. That's the problem we have right now. So I think we need other elites. We need a cultural change in academic elites, in economic elites, art elites, and in media elites as well, and in in the politicians' elites. So we need, and this is a process of 20 years. So I think the next generation is lost.